Ascension of Christ by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Okay, we're in Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter 1, once again. A lot of times, not very much is said about the ascension of Christ. But today we're going to look at that particular subject because I think it's a very important subject. If Jesus Christ had not ascended into heaven, we would not have a lot of things that we have today.
It's amen. So.
And we will take note of some of those things after we pray. Lord, we're thankful for the word. We just pray, God, that you would encourage us and guide us and bless us today with your truth. Help it, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Help us to be shaped and molded into the very image of Christ, to become the people you want us to be. Lord, continue to work on us. Lord, thank you that you are very patient and kind and long-suffering. Because many times, we're not much different than the Israelites of old. We're slow to learn. We're quick to complain. And it's easy for us, Lord, to get out of the way. Help us, Lord, to learn your truths. Not only to learn them and hear them, but heed them. That is, apply your truths to our daily lives. Guide us and bless us with your truth. Help us to seek it every day and to learn that it is just as necessary as our daily food. Because God, your word of truth feeds our spirits. It blesses us. It strengthens us. And yes, it guides us to victory. Yes. God, guide us and show us the way. And use your truth to change us and shape us and mold us into the people you want us to be. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse number 9 through verse 11. Brother Gary has read it. He will not reread it again. But we'll look at it very closely and carefully. It's important for us, first of all, to remember that the books of Luke and Acts were written by Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke was, as it were, a constant companion of the Apostle Paul. He learned most of these things that he writes firsthand or by firsthand experience from other apostles. Dr. Luke got around. But Dr. Luke was a very important individual in helping God's people to know the truth. Dr. Luke loved things that had to do with people and how they could have a better life. I think he was probably a great physician in his day. Dr. Luke was a great help, I know, to the Apostle Paul. I know at one time he said, only Luke is with me. Usually a lot of people were with Paul. I mean, he had always more on his plate than he could get done. That was Paul. Some ways I'm like that. Lori says, often, what do you have to do today? Well, I usually have a list, anymore a long list of things to get done, and I try to prioritize my list. Certain things I know I need to get done. This last Friday, I had a long list. think I'd already gotten Ramona her order of service. We have messages to look at and prepare. We had vacation Bible school lesson we hadn't looked at yet. I kind of take things one at a time. Because Thursday night I had a lesson too. I can't remember what all I did last week. I was here, there, and yonder. It seemed like I didn't know what I was going to be doing next. But God knows. Oh, I know what I did Wednesday. Since we have the other place, I went down there and mowed on during the day for several hours. And got that mowed up. After I got the machine unstuck, those ZTRs can get stuck easily. And if you get too close to a wet spot, it'll pull you right in. I found that out. But you can get it out if you use the leverage of a 2x4 that's about 8 foot long. You can wee-haw it out of there and get it unstuck. I thought, man, I could get out of here easily because I'd done that before. I went to my neighbors next door and they were all gone. They've got a nice little tractor, a little green and yellow tractor, 30-something or other. One of those new little compact tractors that John Deere makes, and it's four-wheel drive, and it's a great little thing, and the neighbor boy likes to drive it. Likes to drive it. So if I get stuck, why, he likes to come unstick me. So we had a great time with that over the last couple of weeks, but they weren't there, so I had to use my ingenuity because my van had already been stuck before in the backyard. Anyway, it was quite an experience on Wednesday. We got it unstuck, though, and we finished the job, and that was good. And, of course, we couldn't mow the ditches because there was still water in them. Got the edges. There's always something to do. Somewhere. And so I've got to write a list. You need to do this and this and this and this. My list was about as long as my arm last week. On Saturday we had a reunion to prepare for. Lori was looking at my list and she said, is that everything? I said, I sure hope so. Because I know if I have anything else, I can't get it done. And that's the way my life is. I'm glad that I'm busy. More than that, I'm glad that I still have the energy to do what I need to do. In fact, I've got more energy than I ever have in years. So I can come and go. One of the problems I have, though, is because I usually wake up about 5 o'clock. Here of late, sometimes I wake up at 4 o'clock. So I try to trick that thing, and I go do my Bible study early at 4 o'clock. And Lori said, are you getting up already? I said, no. Well, I'm going to be up for a little while, and then I come and lay back down again later. So 5-something, I usually come back and... And I'm not usually there very long because I just can't sleep much after I get up. So anyway, I'm learning how to live on 6 hours or less sleep. You can do that. You can. Used to do that all the time. I like to get a jump on the day. But I like to start with God's Word. That's where I like to start. In the morning when it's quiet, there's nothing to bother you, especially if you leave the TV off. That's one problem that some people have. Usually they got the TV blaring all the time, and there's no way you can think when all of those things are bombarding your mind. You've got to have a quiet time with God. Quiet time. It's important. I've been getting those. It's very encouraging to know He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And we can learn those truths. I'm certainly glad that He's teaching me more new things. You know, the more you learn about the Lord, you both know that there's more than you can learn about the Lord. Wow. He is so multifaceted that we never run out of things to study about or learn about the Lord Himself. And so this last week I thought, you know what? I don't know that I've ever really spent a whole sermon on the ascension of Christ. We intend to do that this morning. By the way, only two of the writers of the Gospels mention the ascension of Christ. I thought that rather interesting. Neither one of those individuals are apostles. Mark wrote about the ascension, and Luke. Neither one are an apostle. Matthew and John, they don't talk about it. John, by the way, though, on the end of his book, says something like this: if all the things were written that Christ said and did, I suppose the world could not contain the books that could be written. I thought, wow. Well, a lot of people write books. I'm not into writing a lot. I'm in more to sharing a lot. That's why many times I say the Apostle Paul wrote so much, because he was imprisoned so much. You know, Paul was an active person. He wrote a lot. Dr. Luke was an active person. But he had the opportunities on various occasions to write. And he wanted people to know this, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he wanted them to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is the answer. He is the Savior of the world. He came to save us. And you know what? We needed saving. We were lost and undone without hope before Jesus Christ came into this world. But praise the Lord, God was willing and loved us so much that He sent His Son to become our Savior.
Amen.
And I'm certainly glad for that. Having come, though, and having risen from the dead, Jesus Christ, remember last week, I think it was, we talked about Him being on the earth for 40 days after His resurrection. 40 days. And remember this, 40 in Scripture is always symbolic of a time of testing. Testing. 40. Think about it. How many days was the flood? It rained 40 days and 40 nights. It not only rained and water came down from above, water, God opened the earth and water came up from beneath. And so God had an artesian well going too. You know, it was pumping full blast. So that as I read the Bible, everything on earth was covered higher than the highest mountain. It seemed something like 15 foot above the highest mountain. Somewhere in that range anyway. Might have been 15 cubits. I can't remember. Sometimes the Bible, you know, it doesn't talk about feet. It will talk about cubits or various other measurements. But anyway, everything on earth was covered. So there's no place to land. 40 days and 40 nights of it. And you know what? With a lot of trying things that come into our lives, sometimes we think it's like a flood. Trouble's coming from every side. We don't know how we're going to escape. You know what the ark was a picture of in Scripture? It's a picture of Christ. He is the one who will save us from all the trouble. Get in that ark and stay there until the coast is clear. And you know what? When troubles come in your life and you don't know which way to turn, where do you need to turn to? Jesus. He is the safety. He is the safe place. He's the one to turn to. And you know why we can turn to Him now? Because He's ascended into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And because He's ascended, He can assume the new responsibilities that He takes upon Himself now. Jesus Christ, yes, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But many times He takes on new responsibilities, ones that He hasn't taken on before. Right now, He is the one who is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He's making intercession for us. He is our great high priest. You know what the great high priest did? He made intercession for the people. The people would come on the great day of atonement. There'd be the atoning sacrifice made. He's not only the great high priest, He is the atoning sacrifice too. Wow. It's like He's doing the whole show. The whole shebang is all rolled up in Him. After He's finished with those tasks, the people will pray over that animal. Remember that? They would pray over that animal. The high priest would go in once a year into the holiest of holies, and he'd offer prayers on behalf of the people. Wow. Wow. We have a much better position, people, than they did. Much better position. Why? He's called us to be priests. Yes. We don't have to go to some man to say, pray for us. We go to the man, Christ Jesus. And He intercedes for us. And when we don't know what to pray, guess what? We have the hope and the help of the Holy Spirit who resides within us to help us to pray. And when I don't know what to say, He will intercede for us, telling the Son who speaks to the Father. And you know what? They're all in agreement. They're all working together to help us. Boy, I'm glad I've got a lot of help, because I need it.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I believe every day, every moment of the day, we all need the help and guidance that God will give us if we simply look to Him and trust Him and rely upon Him each and every day. Amen. But this morning I'm here to say, I'm glad that Jesus Christ has ascended to go back to the Father. Ascended. Seated now at the right hand of God. And you know what the right hand of God represents? It is the position of dignity and power and authority. Jesus Christ has the power over sin and Satan. He has conquered sin and death for us. And because He lives and intercedes for us, one day we'll meet Him in the air. One day we will rejoice from there to eternity. One day, all this trouble and trial be past, because we've looked to the one who's taken care of all of this mess that man has made. And it's all been done by and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory and praise forever and ever. I thank the Lord for what he's done in my life. I pray he's done the same thing in your life, that he's become real to you, and that you know him as your Savior, and that you go to him as your great high priest on a daily basis, because we all need his direction, his help, his empowerment, so that we can do the work that God wants us to do. We can't do it without him. Jesus came, Jesus died. But yes, Jesus rose from the dead. And he showed himself visible for 40 days upon the earth, a time of testing. You know, those disciples, there was nary a one, none of them believed Jesus had risen from the dead. Most all of them had to see it with their own eyes. You know, we pick on Thomas. We pick on Thomas. But I'm here to say this morning, they were all doubters. They didn't believe till they saw the evidence of Christ's resurrection. That's why he appeared so many times to all of those who would become his witnesses here on this earth. Because he wanted no doubts about it. He wanted them to see and believe that he was real. Touch me, he said. Put your hand, Thomas, in my side. Feel my nail prints. It's me. I'm here in the flesh. Yes, that flesh was changed, but he was alive. He wasn't in the grave somewhere like Buddha and Confucius and all the rest of them. He is the one and only Lord and Savior. He is God's Son. He has all power and authority, and because he has that power and authority, God's people today need to tap into that authority and power. Many times God's people are powerless because they're not tapped into Jesus Christ and the Comforter that he sent in his absence. I'm glad Gary selected the Comforter has come, because it reminds us this morning he's coming. The Holy Spirit was sent after the ascension. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples earlier on in his ministry? He said, if I go to the Father, I'll send the Comforter, John's Gospel. I'll send the Comforter, and he will be with you, and he'll dwell inside of you, so that you've got God's Spirit inside of you. He'll be that seal of redemption. He's the promise. God is going to make good. He's going to deliver. You know, sometimes you might make a transaction in life. You might buy a house, for example. Might buy a house. And often, they will want to see how in earnest you are about coming through with the money. So they will have you put up what they call earnest money. Earnest money. What it is a promise that you'll come through with the rest of the money later on, and that's usually after you've had somebody check out the title or title insurance and make sure everything's in order. Because you don't want to pay for something that somebody else doesn't have the right to sell, do you? Because you might buy a bag of goods. You don't want to do that, do you? You want to get what you pay for. And so you put down this earnest money, and that says you're going to deliver on the rest of its own. You know what? That's what Jesus Christ has done by sending the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To come and reside inside of you. It's the promise that God is going to complete that work of redemption in you. Now, you're not completed yet. You're not completed yet. You're not completed yet. There's none of you is completed yet. But when you see Christ, you'll be like him, the scripture says, or you will see him as he is, and you'll be completed. And what I'm saying in completed means that all the sin and possibility for us to sin will be taken away. God will make us completely new. No longer will we have the ability to sin any longer. Because you see, sin cannot enter into heaven.
That's right.
No wickedness, no wrongdoing, no wrong persons. God is going to make us all over. He's going to make us completely new. And we're going to have quite a body, I must say. A body that never gets tired. It's better than the Energizer Bunny. Right? They advertise about the Energizer Bunny. Man, he's just going it and going it and going it. I have a lot more energy than I used to have. But I don't have as much as the Energizer Bunny. When Jesus makes you over, you'll have more energy than the Energizer Bunny because you'll never need to rest. You'll never grow out of energy. You'll always have energy. You won't need to sleep. You won't need to rest. It's a constant day in heaven. Praise God.
Amen.
And you won't get weary or tired. Any of y'all get tired? My little sister, growing up, Rebecca was her given name. We all call her Becky. Becky. Becky went to kindergarten. That's back when kindergarten was as low as they went. At kindergarten, she would go half a day. And, I'm like 12 years older than Becky. And Becky would say, "What'd you do today, Becky, in school?" She says, "Nothing much except color and play." I guess school wasn't much of a challenge for Becky. I mean, she's really quick. Kind of like my little kid brother's 2 years younger. A lot quicker than me. But anyway, in life, serving the Lord, there is energy we need to tap into right near, right here, as we serve the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to wait till you get to glory and you get all the great things that I'm talking about. You can tap into that energy here today.
Amen?
Amen? And you can use that energy tomorrow. Because guess what? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
He's there to guide you, to strengthen you, to show you the way you ought to go. He's there as our constant companion. The only problem is sometimes we can grieve Him. And you know how we grieve Him? When we allow ourselves to get out of the way. Well, I'm called out of the way. Not doing the things that honor the Lord. People can do that, can't they? Easy. Easy. Because in this life, we have to deal with the old natural man, right? There's the spiritual man, the new man in Christ, and there's the old man. And I like it as this. We need to feed that new man. That's why I started this message by saying we've got to be in the book. We've got to be people that study God's Word. We've got to be people that know what the Lord wants in our lives. And we can't know what He wants in our lives unless we're people of the book. That we study His Word, because His Word never changes, because it's truth. It's kind of like scientists. They think they know, but they really don't. Okay? Because when I was growing up, they would teach us certain things in science. Things have changed since then. Well, we didn't have it quite right. And the ones that really get me is the ones that come off being so authoritative, right? And say million years ago, thus and thus happened. I'm kind of like the Australian. I like to ask them the question, were you there? Anybody you know was there? I'm here to say there probably wasn't a world 6 million years ago, the way I figure things. God knows! He never has to change the book. They do. Man has to change it. Why? Because we don't have it right. We haven't arrived yet. We're not completed yet. But you know what? God is still working on us if we're a Christian. And He's going to complete that work. And the reason He's going to do that is He's doing a lot of things He already said He'd do. The Word talks about needing a Savior. God supplied one. The Word also talks about the Savior not only raising from the dead, but ascending into heaven. Why? Right now, He's doing several tasks. Probably the one is complete. Jesus said this to His disciples in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, God had His Son raised from the dead, and He says, I'm going to make a place for all those who trust in me as Savior. You know, it's going to be a great place to reside in.
Amen.
Man. You know how much your grocery bills are going to be?
Zero.
He provides them all. I'm learning how to eat more fruit. Because the way I read the book, we're going to need to know how to eat fruit. Right? Come on now. You all read the book too, haven't you? They've got a tree of life there, don't they? If you eat of that, you'll live eternally. A different kind of fruit. Listen to this. A different kind of fruit every month. It's kind of like the fruit of the month plan. This month you got that. If you don't like that, there's this here. I'm going to say this. I think we'll like every fruit that God supplies.
Amen.
Because God's going to work on this right here. He's going to give us a new mind. A new attitude. Right? People say, I don't like that. Right?
Yep.
People can get pretty particular. You can find out how hungry they are by how particular they are. Right? I've dealt with a lot of people. They will tell you what they want. Exactly. If you're hungry, you're not particular. If you're really hungry, you're not particular. You just want something to put in your tummy. Most Americans haven't been hungry for 3 or 4 days.
That's what.
Years.
Huh?
Years. Years they've been hungry.
Well, what I mean is they haven't been hungry in the respect that they haven't had something to put in there.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's not very many that have gone 3 or 4 days without eating nothing. Some, yeah. Not very many. But you know, God supplies all the needs.
Amen.
He does. And often I found this for God's people. For God's people, God even will supply beyond our need. If we got our life in order. If we're honoring God, if we're listening to God, if we're following Him, He's going to make sure that you're blessed so that you will be encouraged to keep doing that. Because God, listen, God is not about just knowing the truth. God wants us to practice the truth. That's where the rubber meets the road. If you're with. God is into us being active about doing what we ought to do. Why did Jesus say it? Because he could not be our faithful high priest if he had not ascended into heaven. But Jesus is there. You and I have needs. Jesus knew that in advance. And so he goes to heaven to do that. He also went so that he could present that great atoning offering, his precious shed blood.
Amen.
Amen. Without that, the other wouldn't be possible. Yeah. Right? You can't get the cart before the horse. Well, you got problems. You ever seen a cart going in front of the horse? Most of the time they follow the horse. Okay? And so that's why Jesus went. He offered his shed blood for our forgiveness. Presenting it to God. Spotless, sinless blood. You see, amen. The scripture says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Christ shed his blood so that we might live eternally. Christ is risen. He's the first fruits. And so he goes to heaven to also be our faithful high priest. Where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Praise the Lord for that. He's always there. Do you have needs? Go to the Lord. He's there to hear and respond to you. Now, God sometimes will say, no, I love you too much to give you that. Because, you know, sometimes we can say, God, give me a new Mercedes-Benz. What's the biggest one? Anybody know what's the biggest Mercedes now? I don't know. It used to be 500 and something. I can't remember. But they cost over $100,000 a ways. I know he wouldn't want me to pray for, what is it, a McLaren, $250,000 sports car, $250,000. I don't need a $250,000 sports car that runs over 200 miles an hour. I don't need that because they'd just get me in trouble. Right? Mm-hmm. Because probably idling, it would go at least the speed limit. That'd be a problem in town, wouldn't it? That'd be a slight problem. What's the matter? You got a problem with your vehicle? Well, they won't go any slower than this. Officer, I'm sorry. I'm going through the school zone here at 65 mile an hour. They put a crown on that, don't they? You don't need that. You don't need that. You see, God said this in his word, I'll supply all your need, not all your greed, I like to say. Greed. God is there. His son is waiting to hear from you. Now, let me bring out another nature. Has God blessed you in your life?
Yes.
When God blesses, we need to remember to say thank you, God.
Amen.
We have so many ungrateful people in our country, it's not funny. They could receive countless gifts and blessings and not even acknowledge it. Not even acknowledge it. How should I put it? If you're a father and you say, okay, I'm going to give this particular gift to this child, and the child never said thank you or never even darkened your door, would you be a bit put out? I'm wondering. Wouldn't you?
Would.
I mean, for example, Harvey, you say, God laid on your heart, I'm going to give my kids $5,000 apiece. And I'm just using a hypothetical, okay? I'm going to give them $5,000. Now, if never one of them showed up, wouldn't you be kind of
upset about that, yep. I would think.
Yep.
Ungrateful. You'd think, man, those are ingrates. I mean, they ought to be thankful. They ought to say, thanks, Dad. You know, I didn't deserve this. I didn't do anything to receive it. You know, that's kind of like where we're at sometimes. You know, God blesses us. God brings special blessings. And we just kind of blow it off. You ever thought about that?
Hold it up.
God wants us to be thankful, a thankful people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
He's done so much for us, stuff that we don't deserve, right?
That's right.
You and I are not saved because we're so good looking and so smart and so wonderful. It's because He's so wonderful and good and gracious and kind.
Amen.
It's all about Him. And so our lives need to be about Him. Because He is there, but one day He's coming again. And I want to be ready when He comes.
Amen.
And before He comes, I want to say thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me throughout the years. Even before I came to you, you were working in my life. Even before I trusted you, Lord, you were working things out for me. Why? Because He knows, He sees, He cares for you.
Amen.
God is good.
All of them.
Amen.
And I praise Him that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
Yes.
But He's ascended. But you know what? It also reminds us in our text that one day He's going to descend from heaven. And that's the time that everybody needs to be ready that intends right. to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Because when He comes, there'll not be a moment for people to make a last-minute decision. Because it all happens in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And like we shared with you before, someone tried to calculate how fast the twinkling of an eye is, and somebody decided it's about 1/100 of a second. You can't make any decision in 1/100 of a second, I'm here to tell you. So you need to be right with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of glory, and He's seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and He's coming again one day to judge the quick and the dead. That means the living and the dead. They're all going to stand before Christ. All are going to have to, at one point or another, going to have to give an account to Him of the deeds done in the body. And I want to be saying, I want to say to Him, Lord, I trusted You. And He'll say, yes, my son or daughter, I know. And because You've done that, I've saved you, I've redeemed you, and I love you. I also want to hear this. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be faithful to the end. I want to be faithful till Jesus comes. Because, you see, there's a lot of things going on in this world that point to the fact that Jesus is going to have to come soon. We got to get ready. And people, we've got to get as many other people ready as we can. It's down to that. We've got to be about our business. And our business needs to be Jesus' business first and foremost. Lord, make my life right with You, first and foremost. Secondly, help me to right others, to point others to You. Give me words from Your word of truth. That's why we've got to be in the book. Give me words from Your word of truth that will guide them to receive You. It's not us. It's about Him. The
Amen.
Lord of lords and the King of glory. Help my life, is my prayer, to be all about You. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. I thank You for that truth that You give us from it. Help us, Lord, to learn to apply it to our daily lives. Keep us, Lord, in Your care. And Lord, use each one of us to be a blessing to somewhere somehow point others to you. Guide us, use us, keep us. We ask and pray in Christ's name.